Inspiration for sermons comes in many places. But today I own no part of this except that it was given to me. When we started this series, This I Believe, Art Rice sent me an email. It was a snapshot of a napkin on which his 8-year-old granddaughter had written these words: God allows U-turns. In some restaurant with her grandpa, talking about something, the wisdom of this child rose up and came out on a napkin. And I thought, that's exactly right, Ella. God does allow U-turns. And there is witness to this in our biblical text. There's a technical term that's used throughout the Greek Bible, the New Testament, and the Greek word is metanoia. It means to change your mind. It means to change your direction. It means to make a U-turn. And the Greek metanoia is translated into our English as repent. The word repent simply means to make a U-turn. And that's what's at play in this story of the father and two sons. Now, the truth is, most of us identify with Ted's tone. Excuse me. Wait. Let me get this right. This one. What? Most of us have not squandered our life in riotous living. Or if we did, we were really young. Most of us have been the good sister. And frankly, it's too easy to preach God allows U-turns using the younger son. It's too easy because it's clear. He turns to his father, and in the Greek, what he asks his father for is his vitals. The son says to the dad, give me your life. In other words, drop dead because I want my stuff to go. The younger son is just reprehensible. And he takes his stuff and goes to a far land. Now, this is a good Jewish boy, and he's in the land with pigs. So you know he's a far piece from home. He's gone riotous living, is hungry, famine comes. He's in the pigsty. The only job this good Jewish boy can get is feeding pigs. And in that place, he comes to himself and begins to practice his speech and starts his way home. And the text tells us the father sees him from afar off and comes running. And you know the story. It's too easy. Father has instilled in this son, somehow you can always come home. And so the U-turn is clear to us. And the message that God's love will not fail, the message that we cannot wander too far from God's love, the message that God's love is boundless and is ever waiting, ever watching, ever hoping we will run back home. My son who is lost is found. The party is on. It's too easy. God offers you turns. We take them. And they start playing music. But I'll tell you where this text hits me. Because I have pretty much been a good kid. It hits me when the brother says, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. This is not, what's the word? Fair. It's not fair. I'm not having it. And the father, in the story, comes out to him. Please understand, in the ancient Near East, a father was the paragon. The father would never, one, hike up his britches and run to meet the son, the first son, the younger son, which is what the story seems to indicate. A man would never show his legs. Truly, I'm not kidding. And the story sounds like the father hikes up. So he's already embarrassed himself for his younger son. And then he goes out to meet the elder one. This father has moved all kinds of rules, has broken all the rules of what a father should be. But he goes out to meet his son. And in that dialogue, he essentially says, don't let pride get in your way. Don't let judgment get in your way. Don't let greed or castigating your younger brother with his sin, which is clear. My older son, that's not for you to decide. It's for me. Your younger brother overcame fear and knew that I would forgive him. Your younger brother overcame shame and knew I would seek reconciliation. Your younger brother overcame guilt and knew that I would love him, agape love enough to receive him. What I want you to know, older brother, is the same is true for you. You are standing here behaving badly when I've given you everything. So I want you to make a U-turn too. Here's where the story grips me. To use Ted's phrase, that God offers U-turns is necessary but insufficient. Just to offer a U-turn isn't enough. You and I, who are in the midst of some path that is not correct, have to be willing to accept it. In this way, the younger brother is much wiser than the older, because the older brother at the end of Luke 15 is still outstanding in his field. The story closes. We do not know whether he ever comes in or not. His father goes out to him and says in so many words, here is a U-turn. Everything I have is yours. You've always been with me. You can have it all. What I give to your brother will not diminish what I have for you. Don't stand here with this judgment and hate in your heart. Make a U-turn and come on in. But we don't know if he does. And sometime the offer for a U-turn is offered not just to an individual, but to a community. That's what's going on in Laodicea. In those seven letters to seven churches, Laodicea is the last letter in Revelation. And it is the only town, the only church to which the letter bears nothing positive. In the other letters, there are some commendations. There are some moments of encouragement. But in the letter to Laodicea, there is nothing good. I would spit you out because you're neither hot nor cold. You think better of yourself than you ought to. You think you're rich. You think there is nothing wrong. But Laodicea, I know your works. The letter is filled with strong language. And in fact, the word metanoia is used in that text. Jesus says through the angel, repent, turn, and come the other way. The letter is filled with correction. But you know how it ends? In the 19th verse of that letter, after the angel has been made clear what's wrong with Laodicea, at the end of that letter, it says, but I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll just open up, I will come in and we can make a U-turn together. Laodicea, you've made all kinds of mistakes, but that agape love and that amazing grace are so present. If you'll just open up, I'll come and together we'll do the rest. Beloved, Paul tells us in his letter to Rome in the 3rd chapter and in the 23rd verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but I know my life. And I tried to think of a story I would tell you, because there are several. But wherever my beloved is sitting, he will remember a man by the name of Silas Parnell. You think I'm loud? I'm quiet compared to Silas. He has gone on to glory. But in 1982, at the Detroit Hilton, he found me someplace I didn't belong, with my shoes in my hand. Yeah, that's exactly right, Cindy. I was coming out of a room I had no business coming out of. It was bright and early in the morning, too. I wasn't married to Lady Seven, but this does not lessen sin. Silas, very large, very loud black man, put his arm around me, shoes in my hand, and said, "We are going to breakfast." And we did. And he told me the problems that could attach to a young, single admissions officer, maybe with a career ahead of her, if she blew it by going down paths that did not commend her as upstanding or wise. And in a restaurant in the Detroit Hilton, he said to me, "It's your choice. Turn left or right." He paid the bill and got up and left. I've never been so grateful in my life. But here's what I know. That around me, I could see all kinds of examples of other kind of living. I could see colleagues that were really important who did not live on the road well. But Silas gave me the opportunity for a U-turn. I was 25. And I am grateful now to be able to say here and stand here and say to you, I may have other sin in my life, but there are some that never showed up again. Beloved, I'm not alone. Each of us has things in our lives, roads down which we travel. And sometimes it's not the riotous living of the younger son. Sometimes it's the righteous indignation of the elder son. Sometimes it's the judging and the refusal to offer grace. And sometimes it's the unwillingness to forgive or to stand even in the presence of somebody with whom you disagree. Sometimes the "all have sinned" looks to the world good, but you and God know better. And so, the strength of that letter to Laodicea and the strength of that story to the prodigal sons is that God says, "I stand at the door and knock." God says, "I know your works." God says, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." God says, "All I want you to do is turn, and I will join you, and together we will walk the other way." There's a little card you received on your way in. God, help me make the U-turn I need to make. I don't know what your U-turn is. I don't want to know the things in your life that you're struggling with unless you choose to tell me. I don't need to know because I have no power of judgment. I have no power of salvation. I have no power of forgiveness. I can tell you where it comes from. But if we're going to enter this new year with strength and with power, then the third verse of our closing hymn becomes really important. The third verse of "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing" is, "He breaks the power of canceled sin." The word that's operative there is canceled. When we acknowledge what's in our lives that is not of God and make U-turns, then the words of "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing," "He breaks the power of canceled sin," become yours and mine. I long to know what the boy in Luke 15 did. I long to know what Laodicea did. But more than that, I long to invite you and me into that place where whatever might be our burden, we would say, "Break this power. Cancel this sin as I turn purposefully in another direction." Oh God, that's my prayer. That is my prayer for you and for me. God allows U-turns. Amen and amen. Amen. But that we have to accept them is the challenge. I invite you. You'll not say it out loud. You'll not write it on the back of this card. But I invite you to get in your heart or mind something in your life that you would like to make a U-turn about. I'm never going to ask you to tell me what it is. And if you would hold this card, I will close us in prayer. Oh God, I am grateful that your word in Revelation tells us you know our works. I'm grateful that there's nothing I can hide from you. And I'm grateful that that amazing grace, that agape love about which we've already heard, is real and true for each of us. Strengthen us, gracious God, to not only hear your offer of a U-turn, but to empower us to take it, so that whether large or small, we might turn into another direction, following you hand in hand, that we might enter the rest of this, our new year, free of that burden, sin canceled. Yes, then our tongues will sing of our great Redeemer's praise. Let our tongues begin even now, our God. Oh, for a thousand tongues, let us joy and sing because of your goodness and your grace and our willingness to turn and go another way. We pray this believing. Amen and amen.